Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a pleasant Pesach, enjoyable Yontif, Baruch Hashem. And we're now ready to resume the Thursday night series. This Shabbos, Bez Hashem, we read Parshas Shemini. And as I entitled the Shir, Must the Kohanim Duchen While Standing on a Duchen? So let's explain the title first before we proceed to Parshas Shemini. The common word used in Yiddish, it's really more of a Yiddish type of slang, when Kohanim go to deliver Birchas Kohanim is duchening. And it became, at least in the Jewish circles, an English word as well, right? When today we have duchening, right? When did the Kohanim duchen? It becomes a verb and so on and so forth. But the real definition, as we'll see, of the word duchen is a platform where the Kohanim stand. But somehow that became the word used to describe the Kohanim. When they're delivering Birchas Kohanim, we say they're duchening. So the question is, must the Kohanim duchen while standing on a duchen? And our point of departure is a pasuk here in Parsha Shmini, the beginning of which, Parsha Shmini, describes the details concerning the dedication ceremony when the Mishkan was erected. Now, Yom HaShmini is the eighth day from when? It was the eighth day after the 7 days, described the end of Parsha Tzav that we learned before Pesach and Shabbos HaGadol. The end of Parsha Tzav describes that there were seven sort of preparatory days, Shivus Yemei Miluim. And now on the eighth day, which happened to have been that year, the first of Nisan, almost one full year following Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's when the Mishkan was put into operation. It was a whole dedication ceremony with Karbonis and different things that took place. So among the things that took place here is what's recorded in the source, one parak test, Vayikra Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayisa Aaron es yodav el ha'am vayivarchein. Aaron HaKohen, right? The Kohen lifted his hands and he gave a broch, he blessed the people. And then, Vayered Ma'asos HaChatos Va'olav HaShlom. And then he came down from the Mizbeach where he had offered the Chatos, the Olav HaShlom, the various Korbanos that are described as part of the dedication ceremony of the Mishkan. It doesn't say in the Pasuk what brocha, what was the brocha, Vayvarchem, what was the brocha? So Rashi fills in the blanks. It tells us in Source 2, Perek Tes, Pasuk HaBeis, Vayvarchem, Birchas Kohanim. He delivered Birchas Kohanim, Yiberechacha, Yair, and Yisa, right? The three psukim that we know as Birchas Kohanim. That's what Aaron said to them at that time. And then it says, Vayered, as Rashi explains, the second Rashi there in Source 2, Vayered me'al ha-mizbeach. Mizbeach is elevated. The Mizbeach is high up. That's where Aaron stood to put the different karbonos on the Mizbeach. Then he gave the brocha, and he came down. Where did Rashi get this from, that that's the brocha? So it's a medrash in the Sifra, the Taurus Kohanim, the Sifra. There in part what's called Mechilta the Miluim, in Parsha Shmini, source number three, in Oslam, it says, Vayavorchem, zu brocha stuma she'en ha-teodeh. From the Pasuk itself, we don't know exactly what the text of the brocha was, but that's what the Torah specifies later. And I printed out the Pesukim for you there in source number four, Parshas Noso, Bamidbar Parak Vav, starting in Pasuk Chav Beis. Here's what you should say when you deliver a bracha to the Bnei Yisrael. And then Chav Dal, Chav Hein, Chav Vav, the three Pesukim of Birchas Kohanim. Bracha Hashem Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem Panam Elecha V'Yichunecha, Yisro Hashem Panam Elecha V'Sem Rechal Shalom. And then it wraps up with someone Shmuel Bnei Yisrael Bnei Avarchem, right? You deliver the bracha, and I'll bless the people. Okay, so those are the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. Again, not mentioned in our Seder, but later in the Torah and Parshas Maso. But says the Medrash in the Sifra and Rashi here in Chumash quotes those. That's the bracha that Aaron delivered at this particular time on the Yom HaShmini, on the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in connection with the dedication of the Mishkan. Now it's interesting because if you look back in Source One, the pasuk itself sounds like he delivered the bracha. Right, Birchas Kohanim, and then Vayered Me'asos, Vayered, like Rashi says in 2, Vayered Me'asos, then he came down from his Mizbeach. It sounds like he was standing up on the Mizbeach when, or on some higher point when he delivered the Bracha of Birchas Kohanim, then he came down, right? So that one could suggest is some source for the fact that the Kohanim, when they deliver Bracha, are to stand in an elevated or a higher place. But the Sifra again in that same section in Shmini and Mechilta Miluim in Os Chavtes, it says Vayisa Aaron Etzadav El Am Vayvorchem Zem Mikra Mesuras. This is a pasuk which you sort of have to cut up or chop up. It's not presenting things in the exact order. Sometimes you have psukim that you have to rearrange some of the phrases in the pasuk to get the exact meaning. This is one of them. It says Ain Roy Lomar El Vayered Maasel Sachatos Olav Shlomim and then Vayisa Aaron Etzadav Vayvorchem. Okay, what the pasuk really means is first he came down. The second half of the pasuk really goes first. He came down from upon the Mizbeach, and then he delivered the bracha. Not the order it's in the pasuk, but the Medrash tells us you have to read it that way. That's what happened. What does it mean? Should be read also, Nosos Kapo Virchas Am. When he came down, That's when he outstretched his hands and he blessed the people. So that's what the Medrash says, the Sifsei Chachamim, on that Rashi in Perek Tes Pasuk Beis, Os Tzadi, source number 6, quotes the Nachlas Yaakov, that's from the Nesivos, Lo Sheyura, and welcome to Sis Kapayim. It's not by Yered, he came down. Again, you look at the Pasuk, it sounds like he delivered the Brichas Kohanim in a elevated place then by Yered, and but says the Sis Chachamim, that's not true. Lo Sheyura, and welcome to Sis Kapayim, Lefi Zei Yaakov, Mehupa, Nefshel Afar, Vayir, Shekvar Yorad. Okay, rather, you have to turn the Pasuk around, and when it says Vayir, it means, I would say, if we put it in English, upon his descent. You know, Vayered, not he gave the bracha and then he descended, but he gave the bracha Vayered upon his descent, you know, after he descended. That's how you can read the pasuk. And then the Sisachim quotes this Taurus Kohanim, exactly what we says, or what we said before, right? That first he came down. So it's not, we don't know when he came down, was he still on an elevated platform or something? So it doesn't say. The pasuk says he was on his bath and he came down. He stood on a level, ground level, where the rest of the people were. That's a simple reading of the pasuk. We don't know for sure. The Sis Chachamim also notes, we see the same thing in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which I printed in source 7, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Megillah there is discussing the Shemoneh Esrei and why the brachas that appear in the daily Shemoneh Esrei appear in the particular order that we have. Because why is the first bracha, you know, after Kiddush, why is the first bracha Chon and Hadas, and then a bracha about Tshuva, and then a bracha about Slicha, then a bracha, you know, about Goel Yisrael, and then a bracha about Rufu? Why that particular order? Right? We have all these brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Why do they appear in the particular order that we have it? That's what the Gemara explains, based on psukim, based on logical things, that the brachas are presented in the Shemoneh Esrei in a particular order. It's not random. That's that sugya. So when talking about Birchas Kohanim in that Gemara, the Gemara asks in source 7 again is Megillah Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Uma ra'u lomar Birchas Kohanim achar hoda. Why is Birchas Kohanim come right after the bracha of hoda? The bracha of hoda is the bracha that we call modim, right? It begins with the words modim anach malach and ends baruch atah Hashem atov shimcha lechon ela hodos. So we have Birchas Kohanim right after that, right? So the Gemara wants to know, why do we have Birchas Kohanim right after hoda? So the Gemara says, our pasuk, d'chsiv, our pasuk here in Parsha Shmini, right? It's the way we understand the pasuk, and that's exactly the Sisei Chachamim's point. You see clearly, the more I understood it that way, that after doing the avoda, after giving or offering the chatos, the ola, and the shlomim, then he came down and he delivered the bracha. Okay, he delivered the bracha. So the Gemara really answers is not why Birchas Kohanim is after Hodah, but rather Birchas Kohanim, why it's after Avodah. The bracha right before Hodah is actually the bracha called Avodah. That's what we call Ritzei. Ritzei Hashem Lakenem Amcha Yisrael V'Zilosam Roshay Ves Avodah. The Dvir Beis Secharet. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to restore the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash to its place. And that concludes Baruch Atah Hashem HaMachzish Kenosa L'Tzion. Right, that's the bracha of avodah. So Birchas Kohanim comes after that bracha because that's what happened in our psukim. Right after he did the avodah, he offered the various korbanos. That's when he delivered the bracha. So the Gemara says, "Ema kodem avodah? Why did you do it before avodah? No, lo sakadat. See, vayered maasos achatos, miksiv lasos measos. See, it says he from having done it again upon his coming down. Right after having done it. Okay. Anyway, that's the Gemara Megillah. Again, the Gemara then goes on to say, so why don't we do Birchas Kohanim right after Avodah? We stick Hodah in the middle. The truth is, when the Kohanim go up, they go up Taka by Avodah, right? If we think about it, they ascend to the front of the shul, they do it by, you know, by the end of the Bracha of Ritzei. But so the Gemara explains why Hodah is in it. It's not our issue right now. But in any event, what the Sisei Chachamim is pointing out, Sisei Chachamim in source six, is saying from this Gemara and Megillah, you also see that the Bracha of Birchas Kohanim was delivered after the completion of that avoda. Okay, where was Aaron standing? We don't really know. We just know that he came down from upon the Mizbeach. So this would not prove anything about having to be in an elevated position, an elevated platform of any kind, because it could well be that Aaron was standing on the same ground level as everybody else. That's with regards to the psukim from our parsha. Let's turn now to look and try and see what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So here we have a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid, the Mishnah Maseches Tamid, source 8, it's Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Now, there are not that many pages in Maseches Tamid. Maseches Tamid is appended, a few of the very short Maseches are appended together, the Maseches Me'ilah. So in that whole package, it's Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. The Maseches Tamid, I think, has no more than 8 blot altogether. But it's the Lamed Gimel because it's in the typical Shas Bavli, It's attached to other mesechtes, okay, for whatever the reason. Anyway, so there in the Mishnah, in Talmud, Lamed Gimel HaBeis, the Mishnah says, we're talking about the daily activities in the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, Bo v'amdu al malos ha'ulam. They came and they stood on the steps near the ulam. Now the ulam was a chamber inside, in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, and there were steps there, and that's where they stood, uberchus ha'am bracha achas, and that's where they delivered the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, as Rashi there in Talmud explains in Source 9, Lamed Gimel HaBeis in Talmud, Bo v'amdu, Romeiz el ha'kohanim, Shekaro b'lishkas ha'gozes, the Kohanim initially assembled in what's called the Lishkas HaGozes. That was a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash where actually the Sanhedrin had their offices there. And that's where the daily pious, the daily lottery was set up. You know, you don't need every coin to do every single thing in the Beis HaMikdash. So who sprinkled the blood? Who brought the animal? Who slaughtered the animal? Whatever, all the different activities in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a system of drawing lots. So that took place in Lishkas HaGozes. Then they did whatever they had to do. And Acharka Chaychelus is Rashi Olim b'Malos Ha'ulam. Then they walked up to those steps. Or Rishonim Hem Chamisha Kohanim Shazochosam. The five Kohanim who were involved based on the lottery and other activities, they came after they finished their work. And their Avoda v'Amdu Amalos Kodem Shigiu Sharachem Oskim Halos Evar Yatamin. As the Kohanim who finished their job earlier went onto the steps of the Ulam, while the other Kohanim did the other tasks like Halos Evar Yatamin, throwing the limbs of the carbon tumid and so on. You know, it was a system. So they would, after they finished your section, you went, after you finished your job, you went to the steps by the ulam, and that's where they delivered the Birchas Kohanim. So they were on steps on the, what's called the Malos HaUlam. Indeed, that's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchas Tfila, Perek Yud Dalet, source number 10. Actually, the full title of Hilchas Tfila is Hilchas Tfila Unesias Kapayim. Nesis Kapayim is what we call Duchen and Birchas Kohanim. Nesis Kapayim literally means lifting your hands, because, you know, spreading out your hands. That's what the Kohanim do, right? They stretch out their hands. So, in any event, so the Rambam attaches the laws of Birchas Kohanim at the end of Hilchas Tfila. So together it's called Hilchas Tfila and Nesis Kapayim. So it's Parag Yud Dalet or Yud Dalet, 10. Says the Rambam, B'miktosh mevarchim Birchas Kohanim pam achas bayom. In the Beis HaMikdosh, they had Birchas Kohanim once a day, every single day. Achar tomid shel shachar. After the offering of the daily morning offering, ba'in ve'omdim al malos ha'ulam. They would indeed stand on these steps towards the ulam, and they would enter to the ulam, u'mevarchin k'derech shamarna, and they would give the bracha, like we explained, the three psukim. And similarly, in source 11, that's the Rambam, Nilchas Tamidin u'musafin, where he describes the korbanos, perek vav halacha hey. The Rambam there writes, the achar shemalan es hevarim, after they throw the limbs and so on onto the altar, onto the mizbeach, maschilin elu shalmalos ulam avarchin birchas konim, that those who would, they would stand on the steps to the ulam and they would say birchas konim, brocha achas, b'shem, of course, one long brocha, okay? Not like we do, we answer amen after after each brocha. They didn't do that in the basement, so we'll see in a second. There's only one amen at the very end, okay? And they would use b'shem ha'meforosh, the actual name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the no, Yud Kei Vav Kei name. Then they would go and wolf the flour offering and the wine offering, whatever else. But again, you see from both places here in the Rambam that the Kohanim stood on this Malos HaUlam, steps to the Ulam. Okay. What's interesting, though, is a little bit earlier in that same parak of Hilchas Tfila, or again, more fully Hilchas Tfila and Sis Kapayim, parak Yudad Halacha Tes, two halachas earlier, 12, says, Kate said Birchas Kohanim in Mikdash. How was Birchas Kohanim carried out in the Beis HaMikdash? And there it says, HaKohanim Olim LeDuchan, there's that word, the Kohanim would go up onto a platform, LeDuchan, Achar Shiashlimu HaKohanim Avodas Tamid Shel Shachar, after the service of the Tamid Shachar was done. And it says they would stand on this Duchan, U'magbiyin Yedeim L'mala Al Gabi Roshen, they would stretch out their hands above their heads, that's Mosheim Pshutos, their fingers would be spread apart and so on, except for the Kohen Gadol, not allowed to raise his hand over his head because he was wearing the tzitz, which had the name of Hashem, and he couldn't put his hands higher, fine. And they would go ahead, Echad Makrin Osan Mila Mila, one person would call out each word, just like we do, Rechacha, and they would say, Rechacha, Hashem, Hashem, Yishrecha, you know, they would have a Makri, a caller, calling out each word, Kederek Shos Megun, just like we do nowadays outside of Beis HaMikdash, Ad Sheyashlimu Shlosha Psukim, till they finish all three Psukim of Birchas Kohanim, Ve'ein Ha'am Onim Achar Kol Pasuk, people would not respond Amen after each Pasuk, Ela Osen Osen Mikdash Bracha Achas, the Beis HaMikdash was one long bracha, which answered Amen, didn't answer Amen, they actually said, which is a special type of amen that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. What's interesting is that here in Halacha Tes, the Rambam doesn't talk about malos ha'ulam, the steps to the ulam, but rather he talks about a duchan, talks about some kind of a duchan. What's a duchan exactly? So that's an interesting word, which we find in the Gemara as well, as we'll see. You look in 13, the Sefer Ha'aruch. Sefer Ha'aruch was written by Rav Nosson Bala Aruch, who was one of the early Rishonim, before Rashi. Rashi quotes him every once in a while. The Sefer Aruch was, in effect, the first Talmudic dictionary, right? They would to explain the meaning of words in the Gemara. So there it says, Duchan, he says at 13, Loshon Yishmael, in the Arabic language, Shem Ha'itztaba, Duchan. Itztaba means a platform, okay, raised platform. So they call it a Duchan, so that's the word that's used, Duchan. Rashi says the same thing. In 14, in Gemara in Erechin, Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, not talking there about Brichas Kohanim, but rather about the song sung by the Leviim, that would also stand on a platform. It's also called a Duchan. And Rashi says there in Erechin, Yud Aleph and Beis, verse 14, Duchan, Kemin Itztabahoy, some sort of a raised platform. Okay? Now, actually, the Rambam seems to say that as well. There's another Mishnah, again, unrelated to our topic at all, at least according to some. You look in source 15, the Mishnah Kalim, Parag Zion, Mishnah Beis, in Kalim. It says, talking there about utensils that can become tame. Now, many utensils have multiple parts, right? They have different things attached to it. So at what point do you say whatever's attached to this kli becomes tame like the kli, or is it considered a separate kli that's just attached to various details in terms of tumah? So it's talking about a dachon. Okay, look at 15. It's a kalim perek zayin mishnah beis. Dachon sheesh bo beis kibul kederos tor mishum kira v'tom mishum kli kibul. Apparently, I used to have this out of the Rash, source 16, there have been a Shimshon, one of the Balaitosis, whose commentary we have on the Mishnayos in Zoraim and the Taurus. Anyway, so the Rash there in Kalim says, in 16, Paragzai Mishnah, Dachon, Lashon Mokom. It just means a place, Kamo Duch Polona, a play on word, you know, it's a shortened form of a certain word. It means a particular place. What is it? He Blita Hayotis Min Akira, Shevesalkan Sakderim Al Gaba Akira Moshivan Osa Al Dachon. They had their ovens, their stoves, had like a shelf of some sort that extended, blita, extended out from the stove. And when you took the hot pot off the stove, you put it on that thing to rest there. You want it to stay warm, to simmer, whatever. It was some sort of an extension to the stovetop, okay? V'yesho beis kibul. It has a place. A beis kibul means it's not flat. It's not, not what's called pshute kli. It's a flat, okay, but it's rather has a dug out area so the pot could fit in. And one of the laws of Tumah and Tara is that a kli, in order to be considered a kli for the purpose of Tumah and Tara, needs to have a base kibul. Okay, can be called a kli without a base kibul, but for a certain purpose of Tumah and Tara, had to have a base kibul, has to have some place to accept something. A base kibul is a place that will accept something else. You can put something in. It has to be able to contain something, to hold something, as opposed to a flat piece of wood. Anyway, without all the details, now that's what this dachon is, and it has a base kibul. So the Mishnah is telling you that it's not really part of the oven. So if the oven becomes tame, the kira, the oven, the stove becomes tame. So this other thing doesn't, but its elves become tummy because it is a kli itself that has a base kibul. Okay, that and it has a place to put the various pots and so on. Okay, a couple of two pots, three pots, whatever. The rush also, we have a parish on the page of the rush in Kalim, and that Mishnah Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis 17 says dachon sheish base kibul and so on. Pirish dachon mokon kmo duchon. Very similar. Mublita yotzman akira. It's some sort of extension, a shelf, or some extension of the kira, and you put stuff there, and if the kira, the stove, became tame, this platform or this extension doesn't become tame, but it's able to become tame by itself. Okay, same idea. If we stopped over there, this Mishnah Kalim would absolutely nothing at all to do with our discussion. However, the Rambam, in the Parish HaMishnah, that Mishnah Kalim, Parag Zayin Mishnah Beis, source 18, says, Dachon is the same word as Duchon. See that Rambam in 18? V'dachon kimo Duchon. Again, I don't know exactly what it looked like, but according to the Rambam, it wasn't something stuck out, it was something elevated, may have accomplished the same purpose, I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, the Rambam is telling us that the word Dachon in this Mishnah Kalim is the same word as the word Duchon, just a different spelling, a different iteration of the same word. And it means something which is raised, and that's it's on a platform. So there you have the Aruch in Osdalad. And the entry in Duchan in 13, the Rashi in Erchin, the Yodav and Beis in 14, the Rambam here in the Parish HaMishnah, and Kalim Parag Zayin, Mishnah Beis, all tell us that a Duchan is a raised platform of some sort. Okay, and getting back now to source 12, the Rambam tells us that the Kohanim, when they delivered Birchas Kohanim, stood on a raised platform called the Duchan. Okay, now it could be that there's no problem because the Malos HaUlam, the steps to the Ulam, was also raised. So maybe the Rambam just used the word Duchan, means also like steps or something raised. It's not necessarily a stira in the two Rambams. Okay, it's curious that one Rambam, he says that they stood on the Malos HaUlam, they stood on the steps of the entrance to the Ulam, and the other one used the word Duchan, but it could mean it's the same thing. Duchan means an elevated platform. What was elevated? Steps are elevated, right? They go up. So that's where they stood. But hold the thought. I just want to show you that the word Duchan is indeed connected to Kohanim in other places as well. Let's remember the Mishnah we started with in Source 8, the Mishnah, Tamid, Lamed, Gimel, and Beis, which is Tamid, Mishnah's, Parag, Zayin, Mishnah, Beis. Okay? It said they stood on Malas Ulam. The Gemara, the Mishnah there, rather, doesn't use the word Duchan in connection with Birchas Kohanim. Okay? It's the Rambam who did. And these other sources that I showed you are a different definition of the word Duchan, nothing to do with Birchas Kohanim. So that's part of an oven or whatever, it's where the Levium stood. You know, the other source that we saw did not connect the Duchan to the Kohanim. The Rambam did. But Rambam didn't make it up. It's a Gemara in Chagiga, among other places. Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Tezayin Aleph, source 19. It tells us, HaMistakel B'Kohanim. You know, we're not supposed to gaze at the Kohanim when they're Duchanim. We know that, right? You look away. The truth is today, the way our minhag is, the Kohanim cover their hands anyway with the talis, so it's okay to look straight at them. We don't look at their hands and so on. So the Gemara says there, Chagiga, Tazanim and Olive, on the stock of a Kohanim is mentioned, Beis HaMikdash Kayim, that was an Isser when the Beis HaMikdash stood, Shayu Omdim al Duchanan. That's when they were standing on their Duchan. Okay, the real Isser to stare at the Kohanim during Duchaning is when they were actually on the Duchan in the Beis HaMikdash. So there you see the Gemara uses the word Duchan to indicate where the Kohanim stood. Okay? And Rashi said that's why Rashi in the 20 explains why you shouldn't gaze at them because the Mevarchan is Hashem and Shem HaForesh. Shashchina Shora al Kishrei Etz Bosem. It's like the Shechina, so to speak, is resting on the edges of their fingers, right? So not polite to gaze at that. That's what they gaze at that. Okay. Again, I'm not going to that rule right now, but you see clearly that Gemara Chagiga used the word Duchan as an indication of where the Kohanim were standing when they were giving the bracha. Similarly, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, 21. Gemara says, Tanya Amar of Tarfon. Of Tarfon was a Kohen. Let's say, so Amar of Tarfon, he lived in the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was still standing. Okay, so he tells a story about himself. Tanya Amar Tarfon, 21. Pam Achas, Alisi Achar Achei Mila Duchan. I once went up to Duchan, the Brachas Kohanim, and I wanted to stand near the Kohen Gadol. But he tasted Oznai Eitzel Kohen Gadol. I tilted my ears to listen to Kohen Gadol. Veshamati Shevli Hashem V'Ne'imas Echav HaKohanim. Very interesting. The discussion there is, we know that there's what's called the Shem HaMeforash, right, the ineffable name, or something called the tetragrammaton, or all these English words, means the name of Hashem that we spell out Yudke Vavke. We don't know how to pronounce it today. Even in the olden days, not everybody knew how to pronounce it. In fact, they discouraged people from learning how to pronounce it, because again, otherwise you could misuse it, or perhaps you use it in a curse, which is a big avera. So most people didn't know it. But on the other hand, in the framework of the Beis HaMikdash, they did use the Shem HaForesh. We know this from Davening on Yom Kippur, right? And we talk about the, you know, the vidui, Bakohanim, right, Ram, Om Nazar, and so on. Shall you show them as Hashem before us? That's when we all fall Korim, right? So there it does say that they use the Shem before us, but not that many people heard it. Rav Tarfon relates in this Gemara is that he noticed that the Kohen kind of swallowed it up when the other Kohanim, in the Emos Echava Kohanim, in the pleasant sounds of the other Kohanim. What does that mean? Rashi explains. And the other Kohanim, Dibramaschum Avliyim, 22, Kiddushin Ayin Aleph Mad Aleph, Dibramaschum Avliyim. Rashi says, Osen Shalo Hayu B'kiyin Bo, Mubarachim B'Shem Ben Arba Osios. Right? Those Kohanim who didn't know, there were Kohanim who didn't know the Shem HaMeforesh, exactly how to pronounce it. It's like, we don't know how to pronounce it. So they use the pronunciation that we use. Right? So the Kohen Gadol who did know it would kind of swallow it up when the other Kohanim were singing their Shem HaShem, the other one, the regular Shem HaShem. Okay? When they were Moshe's calling Ben Ima, right? They said it in a sweet voice and so on. They sang a little bit. In fact, some say maybe that this is the mukkar, the concept of singing during Birchas Kohanim. Where does that come from? In Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. No singing, right? I mean, you know, by us, so the Ashkenazim, we duchen every day. We don't duchen every day. We duchen just on Yom Tov. So it's a whole thing. And other than Shabbos, we have a whole song, whatever your tune is, right? And we have a whole, what is that to? What's that? All right, to give people a chance to say that Yiratzon, and some of those who say, well, what's all the singing? So there's some point to this Gemara and this Rashi that even in the days of Beis Hamikdash, there's some kind of singing going on when they said the Pesukim. That's why it drowned out the Shema of Forest, so to speak, that people should be able to hear it. Anyway, that's Tom interesting, right? That's Rashi. Loha nim shish marab mikol ne'imus chavarem. But he must be Bisum Kol Shekharin Terai. There was singing with a beautiful voice. Okay. But again, what I'm more interested in now in our issue is that what did Rav Tarfon say? Look back in 21. Tanya Omer Tarfon Pam Achas Alisi Achar Ha'ila Duchan. So again, he's talking Birchas Kohanim. So that's another Gemara which uses the word Duchan, a platform, in connection with Birchas Kohanim. So although the original Mishnah Tamid talked about Malos Ulam, right, the steps of the Ulam, these other Gemaras refer to a Duchan, an elevated platform. Again, it's not necessarily a Stira. Maybe that was the elevated platform, the steps of the Ulam. Okay, we'll come back to that. But anyway, also, Tosus, I put printed in 23, Tosus and Brochus, Yudalf and Beis, Yom Aschel, Divra Maschel, Birchus Konim, also uses the word Duchan in connection with Birchus Konim. Sherlo, Hayo Omdim Le Duchan, Adla Achar Taras Emurim. Okay, that's when I got up to Duchan. Now, the question is, though, is that correct, what we just said before, that the word Duchan means simply the Malos HaUlam? It would be strange that the Rambam in two different places that are close by, again, look back at sources 10 and 12, Perek Yud Dalad, Hilchos Tefillin Nesis, Kapam Halacha Yud Dalad, and Perek Yud Halacha Tes, just separated by a few halachas. In one place he writes that they went up on the Malos HaUlam, and here he writes they went on the Duchan. And the Malos HaUlam, again, he didn't make it up. That's the Mishnah Tamid. Okay, Lama Gimel Beis in Parag Zayim Mishnah Beis in source number 8. So what exactly is the relationship between this Duchan and the Malos HaUlam? So there's a Mishnah Maseches Midos. Maseches Midos has nothing to do with nice behavior. Okay, Midos here is not talking about like Midos Tovos, you know. It's talking about, you know, the marvelous Midos machine. That's not what this is. This is Midos. It's talking about measurements. It's a Masechta that has all the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash and a floor plan, you know, the architectural, you know, like the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash, where everything was and how many Amos this was and so on. So the Mishnah Midos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, 24, says, V'chein Ezra's Kohanim, the place where only Kohanim could go. They're called the Ezra's Kohanim, right? There was an outer area called the Ezra's Yisrael, where any Jew was allowed to go, even if you're not a Kohen, as long as you weren't Tomei, you go there. But then there was an inner area called the Ezra's Kohanim. Only Kohanim could go there. So it says, Ezra's Kohanim, Haya Orech Me'el Shloshim Chomesh, it was 135 Amos long, actually it was quite narrow though, because it was only a roch of the width, was only 11 amos, okay, whatever, and there was something separating between the Ezra Yisrael and Ezra Kohanim. Now, but Ezra Yaakov Omer, Mala Haisa, Ugvoa Amo, okay, it was higher, it was more elevated, and look what it says, V'haduchan Nosnun Oleha, Uboa Shalosh Malos Chatzi Chatzi Amo, Nimtzeis Ezra Yisrael Ugvoa Me Ezra Yisrael Shtei Amos Umechsa. There are three steps from the Ezra Yisrael to the Ezra Kohanim, three steps of a half amma each, and then there was a duchan above that, another amma. So that was the platform. So they were two and a half ammas higher. Okay, now, what is this duchan? Here you have duchan is mentioned in the Mishnah, in Midos. Okay, nothing to do with, this is not where the ulam was, because this was, the ulam was further in. The ulam was further in. We're talking here about the border between the Ezra Yisrael and the Ezra's Kohanim. That's not the same place as where the Ulam was. So, and it's interesting, again, the Rash, Shimshon, the Bala Tosos, writes in his commentary to Midos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, 25, the Duchan, HaKohanim Levarech HaSa'av, the place where the Kohanim would deliver their bracha. Betchila HaSa'av, was found right at the beginning of their territory, of their section, their courtyard. V'chein Noah, Birchas Kohanim, Barosh HaSa'av. It makes sense. The Kohanim deliver a bracha. Where from? Right from the very beginning of their grounds, their courtyard. Okay, that's what it says. Now, full disclosure, the Bartanura, in his commentary on that Mishnah Midas Park Beis Mishnah Vav 26, he says, Duchon Shel Levim. That's something else. That's where it was a different point, is where the Levim stood and so on. So that's a different point. But we're going to learn like the Rash, okay? The Rambam in the Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, Park Vav Alach Gimel, tells you what the structure was based on the Mishnayos and Midos. And he says, Umahalach ko Ezra Yisrael b'shove v'oleh menu l'Ezra's Kohanim v'malach v'o'ama v'oleh duchan. Yeshbo Shalosh Malos, again, three steps, the Duchan, there's three steps of platform, how high it was, each one was a half an amah, and so on. And then, in Alach HaDalad, Umahala, Kazakon of Mizbach, Ubein Ha'ulam of Mizbach, Beshavit, deeper in was the Ulam, where near the Mizbach, okay, further in. So now we have to wonder, based on this Rambam, Perek Vav Hilchos Beis Bechira, Halacha Gimel, so when the Rambam said, on the one hand, in Perek Yudal of Hilchos Tefillah Nesiyas Kapayim, Halacha Yudal in source 10, the Rambam said the Kohanim stood on the steps to the Ulam when they delivered Birchas Kohanim. And in Halacha Tes, that same Perek Yudal in source 12, the Rambam said they stood on the Duchan. And here, the Rambam Hilchos Beis Bechira says that the Duchan was at the beginning of the Ezra's Kohanim, right, the entry, the front part of the Ezra's Kohanim, and the Ulam was further back. So we need to understand what exactly is going on. So some of the Mefarshim are bothered, because now it really does seem like it's a contradiction. I said before that maybe when the Rambam said in Halacha Tes, in source 12, Parakadal Rechatzulah says, come on, Halacha Tes, the Rambam used the word Duchan, he meant an elevated area. Okay, so the steps are also elevated. But now you see from this Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that a Duchan was some sort of platform. Now, if you want to learn, the platform was not really part of the Ezra's Kohanim. That's where the Levium stood. That's what the Bartanura seems to say. But that's not how others learn it. So now the question is, where did the Kohanim stand? So the Radvaz is bothered by this. In source 28, there's a tshuva about it. Tshuva's Radvaz, Chelek Hey. The Radvaz, one of the early Achronim, wrote many, 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 many tshuvas. One section of his tshuvas, Chelek Hey of his tshuvas, is called Lilshonos HaRambam. The whole section, that whole volume, volume Hey of the tshuvas of Radvaz, is dedicated to answering kashas that people ask them about the Shittas HaRambam. It's all, the whole section is about the Rambam. Why did the Rambam say this? What did the Rambam mean by that? Right? So that's one section of his Shalos HaTshuvos. So it's Shalos HaTshuvos, Radvaz, Chelek Hei, Lashonos HaRambam, Simon Pei Dalad. And overall, it's Tshuva number Elef Tuf Nun Zayin. Overall, it's Tshuva number 1,457. Okay, but in this section, it's number 84. Okay, anyway, Shalotim Meni, 28, he asked me, what did the Rambam mean? And when he talks about Birchas Kohanim, they went up to the Duchan, and then which he defines as some kind of elevated platform at the beginning of the Ezra's Kohanim. And later in the same section, he says it was, they stood on the Malos Ulam, the steps of Ulam. And V'chi Taim on the second line of 28, if you're going to tell me, Hainu Duchan, Hainu Malos Ulam, and if you're going to tell me, like I told you before, maybe that's what he meant. The Duchan just means an elevated area, so the steps also elevated. Less so, you can't say that because of the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Because he said in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, the Olam Enos Kohanim, Malav Aleh, Duchan, and so on. And later, deeper in there was the Ulam. So like we, exactly what we said. So therefore, what's going on? And now we have a steer in the Rambam. So the Radvaz answers, 28, second paragraph of Tshuva, there were numerous different areas within the compound of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash compound, which had different levels of Kedusha. And certain areas Kohanim could go, but only if they were Tahor. And other areas, some Kohanim go, and others Kohanim couldn't go. Other Kohanim couldn't go. For example, a Kohen who hadn't immersed himself, or a Kohen who didn't have the right garments, or he had a Balmum, and some kind of physical blemish. So the Radvaz says that for certain avodas and so on, that were done deeper in by the Ulam and Zbeach, that's a higher place, Mekudosh, She'ein Balei Mumen, Purosh Kri Begadim Nechasim Hashem. Okay? And then the Heichal further in was even more Mekudosh than that, etc. It goes through what the sanctity of the different areas were. So the bottom line is, what the Radvaz is telling us, is that there were certain areas where not every Kohen could go. Okay? So he said that those Kohanim were eligible, who were Tahor and so on, who were able to go further in, they would taka deliver Birchas Kohanim from the Malos HaUlam. But there were Kohanim, let's say that they were Balei Mum, had some physical blemish. So the physical blemish disqualified them from doing certain avod in the Beis HaMikdash, but it did not disqualify them from delivering Birchas Kohanim. So those Kohanim would stand on the Duchan. So that's the advised answer. You're right, and you're right, you're both right. Okay? Where do they stand? On the Ulam? On the Malos HaUlam or on the Duchan? Yes, the answer is yes. Both right. Those who were eligible to go deeper in or taller and so on could go into the place that had the higher Kedusha would stand there. The other Kohanim would assemble on the Duchan. And he says, that's what it says. L'ficha, Kovan, Rabbeinu, Shnei Mekomos. That's what, two different places. Okay, it depends who was going where. In a similar vein, the Teferis Yisrael, that's one of the Achronim on the Mishnah. The Yochan, regular Yochan above his Mishnah. Yochan and his commentary on that mission in Midas, Parak Beis, Mishnah Vav, in Osamach Beis, he writes, Vaduchan hu itzabah, right? The platform, shall have a stone platform, good. The steps, like we said before, good. And then he writes, we'll skip Samach Gimel for now, just he says where the Duchan was, but in Samach Dalad, he's also bothered a little by this problem. He quotes, it says Rashi in the brackets, but should say the Rash, right? That's what a Kohanim would deliver the Birchas Kohanim. And then he raised the question, one second, what do you mean that's where they stood? I thought the Mishnah in Tamid says that they would stand on the Malos Ulam. So he says, near Ali, he says, the Keshahaya Lahem Sham Mamokom Doch of Mariba Kohanim. Sometime, he doesn't make this distinction the Radvaz makes between you know, those who are eligible and so on. Let's assume everybody is eligible. But sometimes there's a limited amount of space, right? Especially like Shalosh Regalim time, you had a lot of Kohanim on hand, and there simply wasn't enough room. So that's what the Tiferes Yosef says, two different areas because they need enough room, and explains that's what Reb Tarfon, right? He wanted to stand where the Kohen Gadol was. The Kohen Gadol Mishnah didn't stand where it was so crowded. Anyway, you can read through the rest of the Tiferes Yosef yourself, but the point that he says, it's a similar type of teretz, that there were two different areas, okay? Two different areas.
Rabbi Tavis, why would there be any more Kohanim on a Yom Tov? Wasn't there rounds of Kohanim?
So first of all, there were rounds of Kohanim, but not every family had the same number of Kohanim, right? So first of all, forget about Yom Tov for a second. But this family had more Kohanim. You know, they were divided by families, right? So one family more. Second of all, Yom Tov, everybody was on deck because there's so many, all Kohanim, the shifts were not... more Kohanim had to serve on Yom Tov. You needed more people there because more people come and bring karbonas just to keep things managed efficiently. So whatever it is, but there was certain occasions there were more Kohanim. So therefore, he says that, and he says any Kohen at the end of that Tiferes Yosef, any Kohen could come to the Beis Hamikdash and deliver Birchas Kohanim, even if it wasn't his family's week. He was in the area, so he wanted to stop by, so he could. All right. Anybody. So the Tiferes Yosef basically says there are two different areas. What comes out from all of this, okay, is that for sure in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim were on some elevated platform, whether it was a Duchan, whether it was the Malos Ulam, both, whatever it was, but they definitely stood and delivered Birchas Kohanim from some sort of elevated platform. Okay. Now there's a Tosefta Sota, Parag Zayin Halacha 30. And he says there, Birchas Kohanim Elu B'Shasha Kohanim Omer Amalos Ha'ulam. Okay. And he says, he passed, the Tosefta says, that anybody could go on Amalos Ha'ulam, even if they had a Baal Mum. That's where he's like, we can reject questions about Baz's answer. But anyway, but it says, Ukshem Shis Kohanim B'Mikdash Kach Tesis Kapayim B'Gvulam. At the end of that Tosefta, the same procedure that was done for Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash was done for Birchas Kohanim in the Gvulam as well, elsewhere, outside the Beis HaMikdash, down to today. And the question now is, so do we have to have a platform for the Kohanim today also or not? Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, they did. Okay, what about nowadays? So the Sefer HaChinuch 31 in Parshas Naso, again, where the Pesukim Birchas Kohanim are found, Sefer HaChinuch is in Mitzvah Shin Ayin Ches. Shin Ayin Ches, hey, I can't read. It's just Shin Ayin Ches. It's a Shin Ayin Ches. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Kate said, Hina Sis Kapayim. B'shah, she's talking about now, modern times. B'shah, she agiyah, she tzibel avoda, when the chazin gets up to ritzei avoda, when he's koma, because she yirtze, lahaskel birchas ritzei, kol ha-kohanim, all the sakneses, ol neduchan, all of the kohanim and shul go up the platform. Sounds like there was a platform. And at that point, they're standing with their backs to the people facing the aron, right? They're just like we do today. They're standing with their backs to the aron, and then they... And their hands, their fingers are not spread apart and so on. They're held together. Then they turn around and spread out their hands and so on. And they say, Yibarecha, and the Sheikh Tibur is makri them word by word. Again, the Chinuch spells out the whole procedure, which we're familiar with. Even if we forgot it, we just had it just last week, right? This past Shabbos and Sunday, so we remember. Okay, so anyway, and they would answer with a beautiful voice, and people answer Amen after each one. And so that's how we do it today. All right, then the Kohanim turn around when it's over and you go back to Sim Shalom. But look at the last line that I printed there on 31, there in that Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Shinai and Ches, Umin Hagenu Hayom Shakonim Einon Olin Beduchan Ela Omnim Lichnei Oron Va'osin Kesedah Shekasavnu. The Chinuch writes, nowadays they don't stand on an elevated platform. They stand wherever they, by the Aron, that they do. They go to the Aron, and they just stand there, and they follow this procedure we just outlined. So the Chinuch says clearly that that was a din in the Beis HaMikdash, and they stood in an elevated area, but the Kohanim today, Minageinu Hayom, is they don't have to stand on an elevated platform. Similarly, the Meiri, in his commentary to Megillah Daf Chav Dal Amud Beis, 32, Divamash Laharbe Dvarim, talks about Birchas Kohanim. He saw Kohanim, Yeshon, Lakar, Aglam, they pick up their feet when they go up to the Duchan, and Vizman Hazeh, Eitzel Aron. Nowadays, Hazeh, it's enough, you go just to the Aron. You don't have to go, there's no Duchan. But the Miri also imply, and then they say the Bracha, you know, the Tfilat, the Hashem should accept their Bracha, and so on, which many Kohanim say to this day. It's printed over there in the Miri, the most Siddurim printed to this day. In any event, see from the Miri as well as the Chinuch, that nowadays, there's no need to have any particular Duchan. Okay? Now, the Radvaz, a different tshuva, not with Shon Tzarama, but a different tshuva, this is now Chelek Aleph of his tshuva, Simon Reish Lamed Zayin. Okay, Chelek Aleph, Simon Reish Lamed Zayin. The, one second. The Radvaz there is talking about the following situation that comes up once in a while, though we usually try to avoid it. Let's say the Chazan, the Baal Musaf, is a Kohen. All right, and so how do you navigate Duchening when the Chazan is himself a Kohen, all right? So, and especially, let's say he's the only Kohen. The better thing is don't ask him down for the Yomid, get someone else. But let's say he's the only one who could, or whatever it was, all right? He's the best one. So, Shalta Mimeni, Odia Chadaiti, Bebeis HaKnesses, She'ein Shom El HaKohen Echad, Behu Shatz. They only have one Kohen, he's the Chazan. So what should he do? Should he climb up to the Duchan, or just turn around where he is? That's the Shiloh. So in the tshuva, he says, first, the Tzorach Lalos L'Duchan. Okay? First, he says you go up to the Duchan. That's what he says at first. And then he says how you should continue davening from there instead of going back down twice and so on. But then he says, he can change his mind and he says, Avol, after three dots there, Yoser Nachon Sheyamar HaKohen B'mkomo Lifna Teva V'yachzukon L'fon of Kadeshu B'chal HaBrocha. Right, that people should position themselves in such a way that they're near him so they can get the bracha. Okay, and here's the key line for us on the last part of 33 that's on this page. She'ein ha'aliyah laduchan ma'keves klal. Okay, going on to a duchan is not necessary. It's certainly not ma'akev. It doesn't hold back you from fulfilling the bracha. It's not at all necessary anymore bizman hazeh. Okay, because otherwise you would have to conclude, says the Radvaz, which we don't say, the low tema haki, what if there's a shul that has no aron? Or it's a group of people making a minion. Like today, a backyard minion, okay, or a street minion, or a backyard minion, whatever, garage minion people are still making today. But there's no aron there, there's certainly no duchan. Okay, I mean, I didn't attend it, but I assume these groups that dive in the backyards or in the side streets, whatever, duchan, and they had Birchas Kohanim on Yom Tov. Right, there's no platform there. So therefore, he says, obviously, we're not going to say they're Potom Rechus Chonim. Elavadai, top line of that page, Ein Haduchan Ma'akev, Umutov Shalif Sokilo. So therefore, it's better for the Chazan not to interrupt and not to move around. All right. And he says that, that's his conclusion. So you see from the Radvaz as well, that the Duchan is not necessary. Printed in 34, the Ravan, one of the Rishonim in his commentary in Sota, Daf Lamed Tesanala, Dumas, Omer Shimon Levi, also talks about what, you know, he's earlier than the Radvaz, and he says also that the Chazan should, she doesn't go into the whole issue, but the Chazan should just stay where he is. Okay. Anyway, so there you have an indication that you don't really need to have a Duchan at all, at least Bizman Hazeh. All right. Now, another Achon who makes this point is the Maharit. In 37, Chuvas Marit Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Mem Tes. He's dealing with a different issue. He points to Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Chesam Beis. I print in 35. I never went against what my chaverim would ask me to do. So sometimes they ask me to give a bracha. Like today, people go to a Chassidish Rebbe for a bracha, right? Even not a Kohen. Okay, people don't only go to the Chassidish Rebbe's that are Kohanim, right? They'll go for a bracha. They'll go for your Rosh Hashiva, your Rebbe. You want to get a bracha. So, and then Rabbi Yossi was also one of those people who sometimes his colleagues or his talmidim asked him for a bracha, and he asked him, go up during Birchas Kohanim, give us a bracha. Because we find that people use Birchas Kohanim sometimes the rabbi, when he gives a blessing to the bar mitzvah boy, he says the psukim, or many parents on Friday night. I'm not a kohen. When I bless my kids Friday night, I say the psukim brichas kohenim. I'm not a kohen. Okay, so anyway, that's what's going on here. So Yosef went up and he would go, even though yodei ani ba'atzmi she'eini kohen, I'm not a kohen, but imor chaver alei l'duchan, ani to go up in duchan, I would do it. And Tosus there in Shabbos, Kufi Chesim Beit Maschol, Ilu HaYomrim, 38, 36, Tosus says, Lo Yodari Ma Yisri, I don't see any Yisr. Okay, just to go up to the Duchan, big deal. The only problem is maybe it's a Bracha Levatola. How could he say Hashem, because Shom is Duchan? So, oh, okay, so maybe he didn't say that Bracha. But he went up and he said Berachas Konim. So says the Maharit, he's a little bit bothered, Nechelik Alach Simon Kuf Memtes, he's a little bit bothered because the Gemara says that, you know, how do we check the authenticity of a person who's claiming to be a Kohen? Right? Is he really, you know, how do we know he's really a Kohen? Today, we believe him. Okay. But how do you know? So for certain purposes, let's say for Truma and so on, it makes a big difference. If a guy's not really a Kohen, he eats Truma, he's Chiv Koris, you know. So, so the Gemara says, you don't, once a guy is up on the Duchan, then you don't have to check any further. Then it guarantees a real Kohen, a real bona fide Kohen. Okay. Ain't bodkin in a duchan alamala. You don't have to check any further once that's in force. Now, once you guys open a duchan. So that's what the Marit wonders. So what do you mean, Tosa said, no harm done if you went up on a duchan? What do you mean? It might mix people up. I think it's a real Kohen and so on. So the answer is, again, he makes a distinction between when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and after the Chorban. Okay? And look what the Marit says at the end of the part that I printed in 37. The duchan was bizman abayis kamar. The bizman hazeh ain't duchan. That's another one who says that a duchan, there's no platform nowadays. It's interesting to note, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his commentary on the Torah entitled Moruk Tzia, Simon Kuf Lamed, 38, and Orachaim Simon Kuf Lamed, it's only on the Torah Orachaim, his commentary. He quotes the Torah and he says, B'shar Shalom Duchan, Shame Duchan, which is a duch plan, in Yano Mokom Ba'arami. It just means a place, a designated place. That's what it means. It doesn't even necessarily mean an elevated place. So he said, we can speak about the Kohanim going to a duchan. It means the designated place. That's all it means. Okay? And that's where they would go to live a bracha. It doesn't mean, like he says, makom shalahem. That's their space. All right? So all of these authorities do not seem to be too excited about requiring Kohanim to stand on some kind of elevated platform nowadays. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't really weigh on this issue. And Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Ches, at 39, all he says is, Kishamas Chushat Ritzei, Kol Kohen Shavis HaKnes, Nekam Kom Alalos Aduchon. But again, especially if we just accept what Yaakov Emden just said, when it says in the Mechaber, go to the Duchan, it just means the designated place from which they deliver Birchas Kohanim. It doesn't have to mean an elevated place. And then the Mechaber doesn't weigh in whether it's an elevated place or not. So it could well mean, could well be, I mean, it can't really prove one way or the other from the Mechaber. It just says they go to the Duchan, but according to Yaakov Emden, Duchan just meant a designated place. It doesn't have to be elevated. However, full disclosure, the Levush, in his commentary, in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Lam and Sif Aleph, he says, Duchan on Nizbechol Mokum Itzaba, right? No, Duchan always means a raised platform. That's what it means. Not like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he says, it means a Itzaba Sha'omdim Alea Kohanim Shosh Mevarchim. Ulechach Omen Olin Laduchan. That's why the word is Olin. Olin means go up. Go up. You got to go up. It means it's higher level. Okay? Komar, excuse me, Olin Alea Itzaba Lavarchasam. So Lavush seems to say, and that's even talking perhaps about nowadays. Okay? The Prima Godim, in his commentary on Aruch Chaim and Sim Kuf Lamed, the Mishpat Zav, Sukkot Beis, writes also Milas Duchan Hu Mokom Sheolim HaKohanim. He quotes the Levush and he says, "Va'achshav Olim Al Malo Shelifne Aron Hakodesh." He says his community, there are steps because the Aron Hakodesh. That's where they stand on the steps going up to the Aron Hakodesh. So it may not be a special platform for that purpose, but with steps going up to the Aron Hakodesh, that's where they stand according to Prima Godim. Of course, it would seem that if your shul doesn't have steps going up to Aron, then they don't have to do it. But the Pergadim said that was the practice in where he was. And it's also interesting because we always want, and it's a side point, but there's a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, there in Parshat Nasa, Parshat Aleph, Siman Dalet 42, says that, you know, if you're standing behind the Kohanim, you're not included in the Bracha. You have to be, you know, and it's easier to do, it's easier to get everybody in your eye line, so to speak, when you're elevated. Again, it's easy to see who's behind, who's not. So in any event, the Medrash says, if you're behind the Kohanim, you're not included in the Bracha. And he says, the Medrash in Mimid Rabbah there says, that they would have went up to, so even the people maybe a little bit to the side are still considered to be like in front of them because you could see them. Now, and that's the rule. It's the Gemara in Sota, and again, it's a side point, but the Gemara in Sota, Lamed Ches Mabez, says, 43 is an interesting question. Okay, I'm talking about a shul that they're all Kohanim. Anyway, let's say have a minion, everybody's a Kohen. Let's say some families make Meshava Brachos, they have a minion, everybody's a Kohen. Right? And then the girls' family's also Kohen. They're all Kohanim. All right, so what do they do? So the Gemara says they go and they duchen. So the Gemara asks, well, who they're talking to? There's nobody in the audience. Everybody's up on stage. There's nobody in the audience. The answer is because it's the lacheim shebasados, the people out in the fields, right, who couldn't come to shul. Rashi says in 44, right, shebasados danisi b'malachton. Well, people have to go to work and they couldn't come to shul. They're included. Whereas, what do you mean, Aini? Matanya abba breder minyamin barchia am shachar kohanim einan b'chal bracha. Those who are even in shul but behind the kohanim are not included. So these other folks should also be not included. No, those people who couldn't come to shul because they're stuck, they had no choice. They have to work, they had no choice. But the people already in shul, that's what the Tosafot says, there in Sotol, on Chasam Beis, okay, or Rashi also says it in 44. The lo anisi means they're in shul, they can't be bothered to move. Why? She'ain habracha chashub aleihem. They don't want to move. Yeah, people, here's my seat, I'm not moving. So it wasn't, the bracha wasn't considered important enough time. In my shul, so the kohanim stand in front of the shul, and on either side of the aron there are tables, and you know the people sit at the tables, myself included, sit right, you know, by the front of the shul. So when the kohanim stand in front of the aron obviously protrudes a little bit. So if I would stay in my seat, I would be behind where the kohanim are standing, because they stand in front of the aron, and the aron protrudes out from the front, and my seat doesn't protrude out from the front, not as far as the aron. So if I stayed by my seat, I wouldn't be included in the bracha. That's why I always instruct that anyone else is in one of those front rows, move for Birchas Kohanim. I move somewhere else. I'm behind where the Kohanim stand. Right? That's the din. That's the Rambam Paskins, Perk Tezvav, Hichlis Tzulis, Kapayim, Malach HaChetz, Am Shachorek Kohanim, Einam Bechal HaBrocha. Shulchan Aruch also, Sim Kuv Chav Ches, Tiv Chav Dalet, Am Shachorek Einam Bechal HaBrocha. They're not included in the bracha. And like Tosa said, back in 45, Tosa Dumas V'Hodan Isi, Yishlomar, Am Shachorek Marin Atzma Ke'ilu Einam Brocha Chshub Enayim. They don't seem to care. Okay, and that's the Mishabur also says. Okay, and he says in Sadi Gimel, 48, he said, even if not behind, just on the side, also not included. All right. And I'm sure it's in Oskham. And Gimel says all the poskim. Anyway, so it seems, at least according to some, that it would still be preferable, or somewhat preferable, for the Kohanim to stand on some kind of elevated platform. The Ben Ish Chai, great Sfardi poskim, Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, poskim, Shona Rishona, Parshas Tetzava, Os Hey, right? Malkum and his Kohen Levarachu al Itztaba. The proper thing is to stand on a platform, okay, which is by the he says Kosel Marav, the western side of the shul. Wait a minute, didn't they face east? No, not in Baghdad. Okay, in Baghdad they face west. Okay, because they face towards Yerushalayim. Baghdad is to the east of Yerushalayim, so they face west. That's where the Aron was, and so on, and that's where they daven. And he says Duchen Itztaba Misrashal says Shalalos al Duchen Lamot Sham El Omed Bekarka Heichal Arizim Mishanim Divchazal. Those people who don't climb up onto the platform to give the Birchas Kohanim are disregarding Chazal's position. Okay, and then with Lo Achino Amu Chazal Lalos Hakon LaDuchan. Chazal speaks about going up on a Duchan, so that's what he's supposed to do. And he writes, Upo Irenu, here in our town, here in our city, in Baghdad, Hoya Min Hagam Lamot Hakonim Bekarka Heichal. When I came here, okay, before I came to the shul, the minig of the Kohanim was to stay on the ground level. Everybody else. They wouldn't stand on a platform. I changed the minig. When I became the rabbi here, I made them go up on the duchan. And that's the right thing to do. You should be medaktik in all places. So certainly the Ben Ish Chai says it's preferable that people should stand on the duchan. On the other hand, again, the Eishal Avram of Buchach, and that's Simon Arachayim Shim Kub Chavches, Sivches, he writes, Lashon Chazal Ozo Duchan, and in a number of places, Ola, Ola Duchan. He said, well, how high is high? How elevated do you have to be? Right? So he says, usually a separate Veshus is always 10 Tvachim, about 36 to 40 inches. I mean, 3 feet, a little more than 3 feet. Okay? So does it have to be that high? That high? So he says, no, in second line, Kanir Shagam, Pachos Mit Tvachim, that's enough. Ulai Gabe Pachos Mit Gimel Tvachim. He said, maybe Gimel Tvachim, right? That's a measurement in Halacha, 3 Tvachim, it's about a foot. Or even maybe even less than that, okay? Because the whole thing is the zikaron of the steps in the Beis HaMikdash and so on. All right? And
is then duchening zecher l'mikdash, or are we recreating?
Well, there is a mitzvah today, independent of Beis HaMikdash, but what he's suggesting is that some of the things we do are like what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. But it is an independent mitzvah even today. Okay? Now, he writes also on the fourth line, Kan b'Beis HaMikdash HaKadosh, our holy Beis HaMikdash HaKadosh, Hashem minhagim mishum pashut b'mkodem boi, before I came here, they would stand just lift now on a Kodesh, ala Karkov, ain't shum adrega, they wouldn't step on a step, stand on a step. There was no step there. But, and he says, many shuls have like that. He says, especially if there's just a small minion, a small shul. My shul, a small shul. If we would have a platform in front, it would take up, it would have even less seats. Okay, I mean, that is, you know, especially now with the social distancing, seats are at a premium. You know, but imagine if you had a platform, it juts out further, it cuts down the seats. So therefore, he says, there's no question, certainly, b'di'evid, and look at the last line of 51 on that page. Well, b'di'evid, pshita she'ain't paid the b'zit. There's no, you don't have to have it. But he does say, l'chatchila, nira she'mitzah min amubchar, right? It's a mitzah min amubchar is to have some sort of elevated platform, some type of madrega, and he thinks it should be gimel tochim. Okay, he thinks it should be gimel tochim. And he also talks about the chazen, business of the chazen go up or not. Anyway, that's the Eshal Avraham of Chat certainly says, but the evidence, it's not a problem. You don't have to have it. And in some shuls, it's simply not practical. Simply not practical. You don't have to have it. If you can, better to have it. Yorach HaShulchan, in Simu Kuf Chav Ches, if you test, right, Vida, She'ikra Amidah Sarkana Eitzel Aron HaKodesh. The main thing is to be by Aron HaKodesh, and that's where you put the duchan parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. And I had this duchan, this special place. But he says, if not everybody can fit on the step, one elevated step, so stand on the ground level. It's not an issue, all right? And he also says that it's all right. You don't have a duchan, all right? Two tshuvas from Avad Yosef. Rabia Omer Chelek Tes. Chelek Orchaim Simon Kuf Ches. That's a collection of Ha'oras that he wrote on the writings of the great Metzion Abashol, one of the great reasonably contemporary, I mean, he's not here anymore, but the recent Friday post I've been seeing Abba Shaul has a sefer called Or Letzion, many tshuvas. So Rav Avadya Yosef wrote Ha'oras. So in this in Chelek Tes, Or Chaim Shem Kuf Ches, O Samach Vav, he talks about this issue, and he says that Dafka should have a duchan, and he says the Radvaz says that it's okay, again about the chazan not moving, and Kedarka Barkodesh, Rav Avadya quotes other Tanach Chumash say that also, all right, that you don't have to have a duchan, Shaina Duchan Ma'akev, like the Radvaz says, and actually he quotes others who say like that. He does mention a sefer in the next tshuva, okay, in the Chavadas, Chelik Beis and Yud Gimel. He discusses this as well, and there he does quote the sefer tshuva, and he quotes many tshuvas, Kedarko, tshuvas Beis Yehuda from Yehuda Ayish, also Sfardi Posek, who says that the duchan is ma'akev, you have to have a platform, but he doesn't accept that so much because there's a gemara in Megillah. Look about four lines up, so it's 54 in the bottom. Gemara in Megillah, daf chaf gimel beis. The gemara says you need a minion for duchening. Doesn't say you need a platform. It just doesn't say it. So you don't have to. We don't have to make these things up. You want to make a zechel mikdash. Maybe there are practical reasons. Okay, that makes sense, but you don't absolutely have to have it. And that's how he concludes in both of these tshuvas of Avad Yosef. However, just to finish up, in Sternberg has a tshuva. Charles the tshuva's tshuva on Hagas, Chelek Beis Simon Kuf, 56. The question was, Nesias Kapayim B'duchan Dafka, our question, do you have to actually have a duchan? So he refers to a tshuva from the Rambam. In this edition of the tshuva's Rambam, the Blau edition, Simon Kuf Samach Gimel, I printed in 55. Okay, we asked about the practice of Alexandria and so on. And, you know, the first thing he told us, he points an important point. You know, the Kohanim stand with their back to the Aron. How's that the right thing to do? Usually we don't stand with our back to the Aron. Why is it okay for the Kohanim to stand with their back to the Aron? Okay? So Rambam says that really it's okay. All right? But if there's room on the side, it might be better to stand on the side. He says okay because the Aron is considered a separate Rishus, especially if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. And especially the Aron is closed, it's considered a separate area. That's what the Rambam is dealing with in that Shuvah. Okay? In Sefer Torah, Muram in the Aretz Asar Tvachim, It's more than 10 tefachim on the ground, which it usually is in a standard type of aron. It's more than, you know, 3 feet off the ground. It's a separate reshus. There's no iser. All right. And that's the minute. If you can move yourself a little bit to the side, your back is not directly at the aron, that's, I guess, it's better. Anyway, in connection with that tshuva, Rav Sternberg writes, and well, this will finish in 56, the same thing is true. He quotes this tshuva, and he says, it better go to the side, but going to the side may mean you're not standing on the duchan anymore. And he says, that's okay, you don't absolutely have to have the duchan, but he concludes, look at the end of 56, Omnam Nira, the royal Beis HaKnesses, Livnos Duchan, Lifnei Aron HaKodesh. Okay, it's better to have a platform and have steps, Kiminig Yisrael door, like the long-standing minig. Well, I don't know long-standing minig because we saw the Chinuch was a Rishon, we saw the Miri was a Rishon, said the Bismana says no duchan, but certainly there was such a practice. So he says it's a try, it's a hidden mitzvah. The Lefayer Beis HaKnesses, the beautiful other Beis HaKnesses, the hidden mitzvah. Okay, if a shul's big enough, you have the space and so on, it's probably a proper thing to do. But if not, it's not okay, and therefore the Kohanim do not have to stand on a duchan when they're duchaning. Some places, some yeshivas, and some in my shul also, they put like a carpet remnant or something above. Okay? Whether that really does anything, well, I don't know. Some say, yeah, as long as you're not in the same. We saw 10 tefachim, we saw 3 tefachim, we saw less than 3 tefachim. Here it's not next to nothing. It's barely anything. Okay? Now, some make a chiluk with regards to bowing on a stone floor. They make a chiluk, is it attached to the ground? So if your shul's on the second story, like mine, it's not even attached to the ground. But that's by this. It's I thought maybe it's connected, but it doesn't seem to be. Okay? That's not a factor. People use carpeting and remnants and so on for korim, okay? Not because they want to keep their pants clean. It's so that your face is not touching the stone ground. That makes a difference on the second floor. Anyway, won't go into all that right now. I think I spoke about it once before. But the bottom line is that perhaps it's considered a hiddum. It's a beautification of the shul to have some sort of a platform, some sort of steps up by the aron. That's where the kohanim should stand on the same level. But certainly it's not ma'akev. It's not an absolute must. And that seems to be the consensus of the poskim. Okay, I wish everybody a good Shabbos.